tell us briefly where you...
Yeah, well, Chris, I was born in Mississippi, in a place called Winona, Mississippi, about 100 miles south of Memphis, Tennessee.
Was that
the hill. They call that the hill.
Was already the hill, so you said the east.
Uh-huh. And then when I was 2 years old, my father moved to the Delta, and we did stay the Delta, in the Delta until I was, you know, I raised up in the Delta. Yeah. So I stayed there in the Delta on a farm. I got to be 20 years old. And then I left and went to Chicago. Before I left the Delta, though, I got married, and two of my children was born there in Mississippi. Then I...
Did you work for some plantation?
We had our own farm. My father had his own farm in Winona. He sold that, and then we went to the Delta on a plantation. It was owned by a man by the name of Liston Sage. We worked with Mr. Sage there for, I don't know how long, can't remember just exactly, 12 or 14 years, I guess, never moved.
What sort of arrangement did he have with you? Did you share the crop, or did
he
just
work
for
it? No, we always rented. My father rented. Now, we rented the land from the master. Yeah, we had our own stock, our own horses and mules and farm equipment.
What did you raise most of them?
Cotton and corn, peanuts, sugar cane, potatoes, like that. But the main was cotton and corn.
Yeah,
at that time, yeah.
Old cotton field.
And you went up to Chicago about when was that?
1935.
Well, when you were back in the Delta, did you hear any musicians that you really impressed?
Oh, yeah. I was impressed mostly by the old blues singers like Blind Lemon Johnson, Charlie Patton, Robert Johnson, and Howlin' Wolf was a young man. I was a boy, and Howlin' Wolf was a young man.
What's Howlin' Wolf's right name?
That's all I know, Howlin' Wolf.
Nobody knows
Howlin' Wolf.
Was that the Howlin' Wolf that's still around Chicago?
Yeah,
the
same. This is the same.
There used to be a guitar playing Howlin' Wolf.
This is guitar and harmonica. He played harmonica and guitar.
Yeah. But do you remember Charlie Patton?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Charlie Patton. We stayed on the same plantation. He stayed, we called plantation. He lived on the lower and we was on the upper. This man, fellow called Will Docker, he had two big farms. And Charlie would play those breakdowns, you know, and Saturday night suppers. And they would have some kind of time. Yeah.
Did he just play by himself again?
No, sometimes they have two guitars. Sometimes they have two guitars. One would play the lead and the other second. And that was, in those days, that was swinging music. You know, that's what they call it now. That was really a swing. Now, I liked that. Now, I still
Did they have open tuning?
Open tuning, yeah. They mostly played in the key of E, which is a blues key, you know. They jump on something fast every once in a while. That sold me on the guitar, and my greatest ambition was then to play and record. So I got to that point.
What did you like at that time better, the spiritual music?
I always liked spiritual music the best. I've been singing since I was a boy, you know. And I did play the guitar. I sung in those days. You didn't use music much as clap hand, pat your feet. But after a little, the guitar came out. I mean, you know, came into being for me after I heard it, and I thought it sounded good. But I never did play my solo with the guitar. I played a few blues on the guitar, but I never played gospel music on the guitar until I got to Chicago.
You mean the guitars didn't come into the churches until when you think?
Oh, the guitar was a long time before they would accept the guitar. And the guitars haven't been too long accepted in the church.
That's right. You're about the only one who plays it now with the gospel.
Yeah, I kind of broke in the guitar on the gospel music.
You said I hear them in the Holiness Church. I hear them a lot.
Right, in the Holiness Church. But the Methodists and Baptists, they didn't want to get the Holiness Church was, and they was back
have
for a good
had,
while.
Have they always had them?
No, they've had them longer than anybody else. They've had them longer than anybody else. But the tambourine and guitar. But to the,
were you folks strong church people?
Oh, yes.
Which church did
you? Of course, my father, he was a Methodist. In Methodist. My mother passed when I was just about five. But my father was a good church man. In fact, the whole background was religious, like.
Can you recall, before I get off the blues, can you recall any of the other guys that used to play around there? You ever heard Sam Collins?
I don't know Sam Collins, but this guy, Barbecue Bob, Bessie, you remember him?
Yeah,
and Bessie cool. Smith, Ma Rainey. Now those are ladies in there.
Where did you see them? Did you see them on a show that came through town, or how?
You know, it's not like now like it used to be. You used to play on the street. You used to play on the streets, and any big time or artist, you know, would play out on the street like Harlan Wolf. So he used to play out there on the street, you know, and they'd throw money. I mean, and then you tell them where you're gonna be that Saturday night. Boy, they pack out. They go to most of.
You mean he would tell people which joint he's going to be playing at?
Yeah, tell them what he's going to be playing at that Saturday night.
Did they usually have beer joints in, or would you play the house party?
House party. Uh-huh. And then they had what you call homebrew at that time. No beer, homebrew, and that was, they could really make it. I remember feeling
how would they organize things like that? Would somebody just decide that their house would be a good place?
No, they had regular places. We had a regular place. This plantation had its houses, and that plantation had it. We knew where to go, see, because it was a regular thing, routine, just like the Ash Grove. We know we come to Los Angeles. Yeah, that's the folk.
Supper club. Each plantation had their own
place. Each plantation had their own house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had their own house. Yeah. So.
But I mean, who would hire the musician?
The landlord, the man of the house, yeah. The man of the house hired it. And he would sell his homebrew and his White Lightning. Yeah, we used to have some time. So that was the old days where they'd have those suppers. They'd have, in this room, they'd have the dance floor. And that one, they had the food. And in the back room back there, they would have the gambling tables. They play Georgia skin, shoot crap, have a crap table, and play cards.
Who would get all the profits out of this?
Well, if the landlord would do right, he would gain the most. He'd get the most. But sometimes he'd get in the gambling game and lose all the whiskey money and food money. Yeah. So.
You mean, was that the actual owner of the plantation?
That would be somebody like renting a house. I mean, like a sharecropper, you know. It wouldn't be the owner of the plantation.
Just whoever lived in that.
Whoever lived in that, that's right. Whoever lived in that house, yeah.
Would there be mostly guys, you know, who always hung around, like the Howlin' Wolf, I guess, was he from Arkansas across the river or something?
Yeah. Most of the guys like that. We had a fella called Dick Holloway and Jim Holloway. And Jim and Dick, now they was two fellas play the guitar. We had, I'm trying to think of this other guy's name. I can't think of the name right now, but he was a good guitar player. Mostly guys like that, they'd pop up.
They'd all be from around there. You wouldn't have too many of them.
No, the guitar players and mostly from the South. See, no, we didn't draw anybody like that. We from in the area, you know.
That's probably why there were so many, because there was always a party going and you needed a musician.
Yeah, and it's a funny thing, a lot of good guitar players is not known. Yeah. A lot of good guitar players not known that they can really play. There's still some good ones down there. You know, if it was screened out, you could get some old sounds down there. I try to pick up me one every once in a while when I go down there. Yeah. Yes, sir.
I guess
they're
kind of suspicious, aren't
they? Did you ever hear of Memphis Willie B?
Memphis Willoughby.
Yeah, but Willie Borum is his right name. They call him Memphis Willoughby.
Now, what did he play? Guitar?
He's
yeah. Oh, he's around Memphis. That, well, I tell you.
But you didn't hear of guys like Buck of White.
Yeah, Buck of White. But he didn't have record. They didn't record much. Now, this guy you're talking about, he didn't record.
Just see lately. That? See, he's one of the newly discovered old guys.
That's what I'm telling you. A lot of them down there can play. Yeah. No, but those kind of guys, I didn't know too much about. But just so happened that they're. Harlan Wolf, Charlie Patton, Blind Lemon, very well known. See, but he was a big recording artist. Like those guys.
Would he also come and just play on the studio?
No, Blind Lemon. No, I never saw him down. And he was.
I didn't think he came.
No,
down.
He wasn't. No,
he hung
yeah.
around Texas once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Long time as far as the church goes, what did you? Did you have choirs in
yes, I used to sing in a choir. I was one of the directors of a choir there. We used to have singing conventions. In the country, we'd go to different churches. This convention would meet here on this plantation this Sunday. We'd have huge crowds and some beautiful singing, beautiful gospel singing that I was inspired when I was a little boy from my older sisters and brothers. They used to rehearse at our house, you know. And you tell them about singing. So I said from there, I tried to caught on a little bit.
When you first heard music in church, was there already a lot of quartets and small groups, or was it mostly larger choirs?
Larger choirs. When I first heard singing, mostly that's church. Not even quite, just congregation.
Congregation,
yeah. And then choirs came into being, and then the quartets. I sang a quartet too. Quartets. And then the quartets really got to be bigger, I think, than the solo singers.
Do you think the quartets got big when they started recording them, or was it just before then already?
When they started recording. They weren't big until they started recording.
Mm. And when you went up to Chicago, did you take your family with you?
Yes, I took her. Because I went first. I went first and got me a job. I was there about 3 months before my wife.
When was this one?
1935. Uh-huh. And she came on later. Because Cleoth and Purvis was born in Mississippi. Yvonne, Mavis, and Cynthia. They were born in Chicago. So.
Did you soon start singing in the church in Chicago?
Right away, I didn't stop. No, right away. I started singing in the church choir.
Yeah.
In Chicago.
And how did you show them that you were really so much better than the rest of them?
I don't know, I didn't try to show anything. I just started singing, and I was selected, you know. I don't know, but they the one done the choosing. So, went on from there, from the choir.
And how did you first make your first record? How did that come about?
In playing the guitar, I stopped playing after I went to Chicago. It was pretty rough, you know. All the kids were small. They were small.
Yeah.
And I put the guitar top down. I didn't touch a guitar. Maybe from 36 until, or at least 12 years, I fought steps.
Why was it?
Well, took all my time trying to work and keep the kids going, you know.
Where'd you work?
Well, I started working at Armour Packing House in Chicago when I went to Chicago. Worked at Armour's, and then I worked there too a long time until the war broke out. I worked from there from 35 until 41.
Hmm. Sure. That must have been quite a hellish place to work in before the union came in.
Oh, it was rough. It yeah. really was. I was there when the union came in. I was working there when Social Security came out of here. Yeah.
Because I've heard, you know, I used to go and sing. I grew up in Detroit. I used to go over there and sing once in a while in Chicago. And I'd hear from the people, this was after, long after they had the unions in the packing houses, but they'd talk about the way things used to be. And
it was some kind of rough. They lay you off when they wanted to. I mean, and work you like a dog. I mean, it really drive you. I mean, it really, you had to really go. Really had to work hard. But I stuck with it until the war broke out.
What kind of jobs did you do at the packing house?
The packing house, first job I had was working in the pork department, ham house you call it.
Yeah.
I was pulling ham from vats on that, and went from that to the hog kill. I worked a lot of different jobs. Worked on the hog kill, worked in the fertilizer department. That's a rough one, that fertilizer was rough. Worked in the fertilizer, and that's when I quit. When I, the job was hard to get too. I quit, and because the job made me sick, you know, but had a hard time. And then I went back to them, and they put me in a different place, and I stayed there until I, it was a rough job. Yeah.
But you kept on working in the packing all through the war?
No, after the war, I went to a construction work. Went to construction work there.
During the time you were at the packing house, you didn't play at all?
No, I didn't play at all.
At parties or anything?
No, I didn't play nothing. I didn't have time to play. I was trying to make a living.
Yeah.
So when the children got up pretty good size, the guy, I often tell this little guy, told me he had a really high price guitar, you know, in pawn, and if I'd get that of pawn, that he would have, you know, I could have it in pawn for $7.50. That was a lot of money in that day. I hustled up the money and started amusing myself, you know. So I never forget one day, so much snow we couldn't even, you know, just all we do sit around the fire. I took the kids and started harmonizing. I'd pick this string, I'd give that in the key, get us in the key. And then I'd tell them all to come in with a horn. That's the way I got started.
Was this after the war?
No, this in time. When did we start? Around 45. Yeah, that was after the war. We started, I tried them out in 46. And around 46. They didn't make it then. Around 51, wasn't it, May? What was it, 51? We started.
51.
Mm. 51.
And did you first get jobs in different churches singing?
We got our first job in a church. I sung at my brother's church.
Oh,
C.A. Staples. He was pastor. He's a preacher, yeah.
Oh.
And one of my older sisters was staying with me. She asked me, she belonged to his church. Asked me to come out and sing a couple of numbers in the room. When we got there and sung, they wouldn't let us stop. They liked it so well. I'll never forget old minister there named Lathan. He said, I want you children at my church next Sunday. Next Sunday, I want you at my church. So we haven't stopped since. We sung that couple of numbers, and then we went from there to his church. And when we went from there, there were some more preachers than this, and never was able to stop. Went from there, somebody else, a recording company, heard of us. They wanted to record us there. Yeah. A girl named Evelyn Gay, I'll never forget. Very nice to her. She helped me get on record. Wow. I mean, she advised me that. I didn't even think about trying to get on record. She told me that I should try, you know.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Was that the first label? What was that?
That was United.
A
fellow by the name of Mr. Allen was the president of that label. So we stayed with him 2 years, and he wanted us to sing blues. We wouldn't sing blues. Oh. He said Navis could make a lot of money if we sang blues, and I didn't want to sing blues.
Yeah, I was wondering, how did you feel in those days about mixing the two kinds
of music? I don't feel mixed. I feel that the folk music and gospel music coincide together. I feel that we mostly singing folk music all the time anyway, you know, because a lot of traditional stuff that we use, material that we use. But each to his own. If a blues singer, because blues have a lot of soul. Lots of soul in blues singing. And when you hear a person singing the blues, that's something that he has experienced himself, you know. When you can sing the blues and you know what you're singing about, you know, which mean a lot when you know, just like gospel music, you know, our religion, we believe in gospel. And when we sing gospel, we know what we're singing about, more or less. But a blues singer, when he's singing the blues, he's telling you something that has happened to him. And that's deep down, that's coming out. And sometimes that throw off a lot of his burden, you know, throw it off. Blues singer, see, we used to play, you know, you could walk the cotton field roads at night. After you done come from, maybe you've been to see your girlfriend. I used to take my guitar with me over to her house, you know. And if she didn't talk right, like, I'd sing the blues away, I'd sing. Yes, sir, I'd sing the blues a while, you know.
You would sing blues.
I used to
not
sing.
Not on the stage.
No. So what'd you say?
I say you don't object to singing blues as long as you don't do it on the stage now, do you?
Oh, no, I don't.
Do you still
I don't,
sing
blues? No, no, I don't participate.
For yourself?
No, I don't participate. I take it out in gospel now. I can,
I was just wondering,
do the same thing.
I mean, just curious about that. Doesn't religion give you the same outlet sometimes?
That's why.
In those days.
That's why I say they're so close together, see, because you can get consolation in singing the gospel. Now I get more consolation. I can't get the consolation now singing the blues because I don't have those problems. I don't have those problems that a blues singer would have there. You know? And I have a problem there. I depend more upon the supreme being, see. And I can talk to him, I can sing. And I get a consolation like that, like I used to do with the blues.
How does it, you know, something that I've always wondered about, how I've never stopped making music, you know,
mm-hmm.
I never had to for any reason, just mm-hmm. drop it. And I always wondered how a person who's used to playing music and singing, how could you get through a period of time, you know, without...
You don't. That's why I came back. You can't. It's constantly on you all the time.
That's right.
It's on you all the time. You don't never get out. It's in you. When you know how it is, Bob, it's in you. You can't. You don't. That's why I'm back out.
How could you stand it all that time?
But
I don't know,
obligation to make you stand something. I mean, sometimes you can't come up to it. And if I had to stop now, I don't know what I'd do. You know. I don't never intend to stop any, you know, I always try to, if I just have to amuse myself, you know.
Sure.
But it was pretty tough. I had never been to the city, and I'd heard so much, and I was determined to make it, you know. I was determined to make it. And I just dropped everything and went straight into work. As soon as I kind of got straightened out a little bit, then I went back to my guitar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Takes quite an organized personality. I don't know whether I could do it.
It's rough. It's rough. just like smoking. You smoke, you have to have willpower, a lot of strong willpower. Yeah.
What are some of your other favorite types of music besides gospel music? Do you have any of the other?
Just like I said, blues to me have more soul. And then jazz, I like jazz. I like good soul, good music. I like good music. Good, like jazz. I like that. Just like I said, each to his own. That song, like rock and roll. I listen to it. Some of it, song, you know. But my music, I take jazz. I take gospel, and then I take blues, and then I take jazz. Yeah, that's where I feel.
If you ever have time to just go out and amuse yourself listening to somebody else, who do you pick to go and see?
Oh, an artist. What do you mean? In what field?
Any kind of music.
Of course, Ray Charles. He's a gospel man. There's nothing but gospel. Mm-hmm. In that field, I feel he's between jazz and I like Cannonball as jazz music. And I have to take old Jimmy Reeves from the blues band.
Oh, yeah.
he's a bad man. And then from that, Howlin' Wolf, I like Howlin' Wolf from my second show. So, I don't know.
Did you ever know Jimmy Reed when he started making records? Did you meet him pretty soon when he both started recording for DJ?
Yeah, we met. We were just tight buddies. Jimmy Reed, I met him, and we have a long conversation when we meet up, because it seems like we have something in common.
Does he stay on the road a lot?
Yes, Jimmy's still on the road. He's a busy artist, yeah. Yeah, he's still on the road. Well liked artists too. Yeah, draw a good crowd. Yeah,
sure, heavy drinker.
Yeah, they tell me. I don't know. I never been to one of his concerts and nothing, but they tell me.
What about Howlin' Wolf? Does he stay on the road or what? Howlin' Wolf.
Did you ever see him on the road?
Never have seen him.
There's a lot of work.
Everybody always says, just come, he just gone.
He, Howlin' Wolf, keep busy.
Can't locate him.
They keep busy.
Maybe I ought to ask your daughters what they think about music in general, what kind they like best. Do you have any ideas of the kind of, you know, are there any particular types of music that you like the best or don't like?
Yeah, well, I just like all of it. I enjoy listening to all of it. Mm-hmm. I enjoy listening to the jazz and anything that comes over the radio, you know, but I like spirituals best. Mm-hmm. I enjoy spirituals the most. Right. I don't have anything against any of it, rock and roll or,
What did you think when your father said you shouldn't sing any blues, you know, when the man from the record
company said you ought to? I didn't want to do it in the first place. I would have said the same thing, but Daddy beat me to it. Daddy spoke up first. But I would have told the man the same thing because I didn't want to sing any blues. I didn't know anything about singing blues. I had been brought up in the church, and I've been singing church songs, you know, around the house, and I didn't know anything about any blues. I wouldn't have known what to do if Daddy had said yes, she could do it. You know, I would have been lost, because I just enjoy singing spirituals, and I wouldn't have wanted to sing any blues. I wouldn't have known what to do in that field, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I was then, and I still am. I'm just that close to God, you know. I wouldn't feel right singing anything else but spirituals. Yeah. So I guess I'll be doing it all my life. I don't ever intend to do anything else other than singing spirituals.
Did you feel any different when you made this recent record, you know, that Cotton Fields and
this land,
I
didn't feel any different there, but the cotton field, it just seems more, I don't know, it seems like, what do you call it, bluegrass? Yeah. It seems like hillbilly, yeah. Uh-huh. Seems more like, but I enjoyed it. It was fun, you know. Mm. I like it. I like the little song. I had heard someone else sing it before we cut it, and I had enjoyed it. But it was just fun doing it. We got a kick out of it, you know. But this land, I really like this land better than I like Cottonfield. A lot of people like Cottonfield side the best. This jockey here in San Francisco, he likes that one better. He likes Cottonfield better. And in L.A. too, I think he likes that. Mm-hmm. But I like this land the best.
But I mean, when you sing things like that, can you put yourself as strongly into a song like that than you would into a gospel number?
Yes, we can, mm-hmm. Because just like I said, they coincide here, both of them sing, you know. When we sing a folk number, we sing more or less like we sing gospel anyway. I mean, it's not quite, you can't hardly tell the difference between
our style.
So,
and so actually both of us are very good songs.
Yeah, when you sing a true song like that, like this land, you can feel, yeah, you can run.
That's the main thing.
It's telling a story.
It's telling a story.
Yeah.
That's right. See, that's why artists like the Staples can take in that kind of material and have it and feel quite at home with it, because they're used to listening to the words they're singing and thinking about them and meaning what
that's
they're saying.
That's it. You can take any
song in the world that fits that formula, and it's going to be, they're going to feel at home with it.
That's right. That's
as long as it's true.
That's the answer.
How about, do you have any comments that you...
No, I agree with Mavis. To each his own, each field. In rock and roll and blues, gospel, each one is carrying a meaning. It's more or less telling something. They just have their way of telling. Like we say Jesus and they say baby, but all of it is pertaining to the same. It's telling a story.
I was wondering how you feel about switching back and forth like that. From saying Jesus at one time, I know, and baby the other. I know some singers have very strong feelings about that. You know, they say you can't really mix it and keep those apart, but I don't know.
Well, I don't think that you should, you know, exactly mix it, but like I say, to each his own. Now, like we say Jesus, and they're saying baby.
Depends on what you're thinking about.
But it just depends on what they're thinking about. Is this the way that they're feeling at this particular time, you know? Because I think that a lot of rock and roll singers and blues singers, they really have the feeling exactly as we about gospel, but it's more or less, this is their way of living, you know. This is the way they feel, what they want to do, and we're singing gospel. This is what we want to do, because we know that we say Jesus, really, we know that the man above is going to help us, you know. It's the same way with gospel, with blues, but this is just their type of living. They want to say baby, they say baby. But all of it is telling a story, something that they have experienced.
I just wanted
to... She's talking. It's a big difference than just the word saying.
That's true.
Yeah, big difference in the meaning, because of what we believe. We believe that there's a supreme being somewhere, and we're depending on our God, see, and it's no comparison with saying something about a woman. You can't compare that with the Almighty, see, no. And that's where I solely believe in that. That's my belief, and they can't take that away from me, because I don't know. There must be a God somewhere, because I'm telling you, I have a lot of prayers that I prayed have been answered. And I know, I mean, that's why I can get consolation in a lot and using God's name in my program, because he's a man who can wipe all of us off. He can destroy and he can defend, and no person, I fear no man, because of God got all power in his hand. I mean, I feel that that's the way I feel. But I can't just say one saying Jesus and one saying baby because it's too much different in that part. Man can't do nothing for you. I mean, the way I feel.
I was just curious, you know, when I saw you in Chicago last summer, you were on there with the meditation singers who really kind of, they really get wild.
Yeah, they're wild.
I was wondering,
yeah.
What do you think about that? Whether do you think that's all, as long as they believe in it, they should do
yes, that? Yes, everybody's saved by their own belief. That's the way they want it. That's the way it should be with them. I don't see it like that. I see it the way I'm singing it. See, Barbara see it the way she's singing. I mean, and you can't take nothing. It takes all of that. It takes all of us to make.
Well, I sort of have a feeling I can never make up my mind whether they do a lot of it just for the show or whether they actually.
Well, yes. Away. I can tell you that. Yes, that's one thing. I don't say the meditation, but the. In religious work, I don't believe in a lot of showmanship. I don't believe in a lot. I think that you should leave that for rock and roll singers and such. Folk singers, they don't do a lot of showmanship work. And they were some of the biggest of the day, you know that. And they stand there and sing, you know. But when your job, and if they want to do that, that's up to them. But I can't see it. I mean,
well, a lot of them feel it. They get the spirit, you know.
Well,
they
really feel it exactly as we do feel it.
Some of them feel it, but through, like I said, some of us a lot of showmanship, like you said, a lot of.
Well, in any style of singing, there's a. I feel like you can divide up the artists in two different ways. You can say, some performers use the material to show themselves off, and others use themselves as a vessel to carry the material.
Yeah, that's right.
How did that compare with the churches when you were younger? Did they ever have things like that
going on? No.
Is this the thing that everyone has more or less, you know what you believe in, and I feel each one of us know exactly what we want and what we believe in, and regardless of what the other fella might say, baby, or we say Jesus, I still feel that they all believe in, at least they know that there is one man above. But it's just their way of doing it and our way of doing it.
Well, I tell you one thing, some of the blues singers and other what you would call sinful singers is sometimes better Christian than some of these that pretend to be Christian. It's just another job, and they're making a living. They're performing good, and they're making a living, and it's nothing. I mean, that's why I say each his own. If he can do that, and deep down, and you don't never know what's in a person's heart. So, and sing what they want to sing. But we didn't have that in the old church. We just most had hymns and choir.
How about did you ever go to any other churches except the Methodist when you were
yes.
younger?
Yes, Sanctified. Now they had guitars in there. That's another thing I didn't find. That's what I find. I use guitars in gospel music. Sanctified Church. I'd often when our church would let out, I'd enjoy going to Sanctified.
Really,
yeah, they swing. They really. They got a beat. Yeah, Lon Hampton. Nobody can compare with. They don't have to. You don't have to say one, two, three, four.
Yeah.
They hit and you can't beat them. Yeah. You can't beat them. Come on in, Brother Reed.
How you doing?
Fine.
Oh, yeah. But let's do it over here.
Of things that, especially contrast that you've seen in a change of the church, I think that might be kind of interesting. Can you think
it's a you know what, it's a moving time, see, and changes can't be stopped, and this church you used to go and you sit and look, but now you can see the people waving their hand and saying amen, and witness to what the minister say, like that has been changed so much. The Methodist church was real quiet. Now they're what you would say on the swinging. I mean, they move too. Baptist church, they dance just like the sanctified morning. And it's just a changing thing, but one thing that we have come to the conclusion of, that no one is saved in no church if you're not right. I mean, you can be in the Baptist, Sanctified, Methodist, any church you're in, if you're not living right, your church is not going to help you. So that caused, I don't particularly have no one denomination. I just believe in doing the right thing. That's what I mean. And I believe you can do that in one church, you can.
I was just wondering, do you think that the churches have increasingly become leaders, so to speak, in, you know, fighting for their own people and so on, or do you think it has been the other way? I always felt that in the older days the churches were much more conservative. They would never speak up on anything.
They never speak up on no politics or nothing like that. I mean, it seemed like they stayed into it, but now the preachers are the leaders. I mean, they have ventured out to taking over every, you know, taking over, but that used to didn't be. That's something, that's why I said changes is coming all the time. You can't stop changing.
What can you think of?
What do you say, Barbara?
Oh, I'd like to hear the girls talk some more about their...
Yeah, how do your schoolmates feel about you singing, you know?
The ones in Chicago, they enjoy it. They make all of our programs that we have there. And all through school, every time I'd go out on the weekend and come back, they'd have a lot of questions, you know. I used to have to go out on, in fact, I used to miss just about every Monday in school because we'd go too far and couldn't get back home in time enough for me to get to school.
See, that's what happened. Before Mavis was out of high school, we had the hit record to come out on Cloudy Day.
Yeah.
And it came out about 6 months.
That was the first time I ever heard you here at the Oakland Auditorium. Must have been 6, 7 years
yes,
ago.
Yes, that's right. About
longer than that.
And we made that record, and she was still, and she had to go about 6 more months before she graduated. So we got called, I don't know where, how they found us, but called us, letters came in, and I would try to work weekends, you know. I was working too then. I was working in steel mill at that time. We worked weekends, this weekend program, and we sometimes we'd go for as a New Orleans from Chicago, Durham, North Carolina, yeah, 700-800 miles. But we had a good car, we jumped that program, and then but it take us all night, Sunday night, and all day Monday to get back home. And then we had to go to work Tuesday.
Yeah.
We done that for, I done it from October to March, and I quit my job. And then she had to finish up hers.
What year was that, do you remember? 57.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 57. Sure.
And,
so that's schoolmates, eh? Did
any of the schoolmates ever ask you, you know, to sing rock and roll or stuff like that?
Well, after the teachers found out that I was a singer, they'd have, you know, we have variety shows in school. They try to get me to go on and sing, but they wouldn't ask me to sing rock and roll. They'd ask me to sing some of the songs that we sing, you know. And I used to sing. I used to try to sing. I couldn't do too well because I couldn't sing any solos. I made it through, you know. But it was hard to sing a solo. And I couldn't have the whole group to come over to the school because my sister was working and Purvis was working. And I was the only one in school. Dad was still working. They couldn't come over just for the, you know, variety show, sing a couple of songs. So I'd have to get up there and try to do it by myself. I'd sing a solo. Let's see, I can't think of what it was. One song that I could do pretty good on by myself, you know, and I got a pretty big hand.
Yeah.
So
I don't know, but they tell me they have a place there in Chicago where the young peoples go, and a lot of the young people know my kids, you know, and they're crazy about them.
Let the lie alone and use what you got. They play all of this down there.
Where's that?
Butler,
located on 64th and Cottage Grove. Oh, yeah? And all the kids go down there. I don't know how they manage to get our record. Every time they get one, and the kids come back and tell me, I heard you record of Budland last night.
And this is strange, you know?
Because they don't do that.
Very strange, because they don't usually do that.
No, they don't do it.
Yeah. We the only stretch
that they play.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You're the only gospel.
Oh, yeah.
The
only one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the only stretch only. They got all
this
our
this is a place where the kids go dance.
And
they don't play any.
Like they have an entertainer.
It's near McKee's. Yeah. McKee's is a block away.
Yeah. Well, it's in the building. It's in the Persian building.
It's in the Persian. Yeah. It's down in the basement there, right? They're right there in the Persian building.
They just go to waste before. I'm glad they got something.
Well, it's doing fine. Like they have a theater there. They call the Riga Theater, and like they have entertainers there. Mm-hmm. And on a Wednesday night, they give them a big party, you know, and all the entertainers come down and sing free for the kids. But and after that they play the records, and I think it was several entertainers that was appearing there. Lloyd Price for one, that told us that they were playing the records, and we had heard a lot of our friends say so, you know. But I thought probably they were kidding.
Yeah, because but then we don't go down there, you know.
It was
and they just come back and tell us that they playing Hammer and Nails at Budland.
Yeah, you can't believe that. Thought they were kidding, but it was really true. And like they have all the records now, and like
they sure do.
I haven't heard, like I imagine when we get home, someone will call us and tell us, well, I heard your new record, This Land. Yeah, because I imagine they'll really go for This Land. I know they will. And this
Cottonfield too.
Cottonfield has good beats.
They have beats, but I imagine most of them.
They have that monkey beat, you know. Kids can do the monkey off.
This is the new dance. What they like,
Everything starts in Chicago.
Exactly.
What's the difference between that and the old dances?
I don't know. they make them up, you know. Whatever particular dance is out, if you can come out with that beat at that particular time, you got a thing going.
That's right. That's right.
How's the monkey beat go?
Go like this land and Cottonfield. That's really
this. It has
and like really see when Hammer and Nails came out, Hammer and Nails was a twist beat, and they did the twist off.
It's really not that we tried to get that beat. It's just the record comes out. That it's on the style that they're
that's
doing,
right.
And this is what it is.
I can't help crying sometimes. They had a Bossa Nova beat.
And they were doing the Bossa Nova, Bossa Nova Bird and everything. It happens that way.